Hello and welcome to this ACE Oncocast. This podcast series is entitled Clinical Insights on the Treatment Algorithm in Unresectable Locally Advanced or Metastatic Urothelial Cancer. My name is Dalit Eichermann. I am delighted to be joined today by a leading expert in urothelial cancer, Dr. Johan Loriot from the Université Paris-Saclay and Gustave Roussy, Villejuif, France. Welcome and thank you for joining me today. In today's ACE Oncocast, our clinical expert will be discussing second-line treatment decision-making, how to identify the sequential treatment strategy. Dr. Loriot, the treatment landscape is rapidly evolving with an increasing range of available first-line therapeutic options by the end of 2023. This paradigm shift has significantly increased the complexity of subsequent patient care. Could you provide an overview of the different clinical scenarios that may occur during disease progression following first-line treatment?
Hello, everyone. And first of all, thank you for inviting me to this important discussion. So coming back to your question, indeed, the landscape is moving very, very fast with a lot of data released recently. And basically, there is a different way to treat a patient and first-line treatment. And so there is different scenarios that can occur during the management of this patient. So the standard of care early 2024 is mainly in first line metastatic setting, of course, it's chemotherapy, platinum-based chemotherapy, usually followed by a maintenance treatment with immunotherapy like avelumab. It could be also another standard of care. It could be the combination of enfortumab vedotin and pembrolizumab, because this combination is already approved in US in a cisplatin ineligible patient. And rarely, some patient could be treated with chemotherapy only. And why chemotherapy only? Because there is disease progression during chemotherapy or upon completion of chemotherapy. So basically, there's three different clinical scenarios that may occur during the disease progression following first-line treatment. The number one is a progression after first-line treatment or within 12 months of neoadjuvant or adjuvant platinum-based chemotherapy. So it means that the patient has disease progression during the chemotherapy. The number two, the second scenario, is a progression, disease progression during the treatment maintenance with immunotherapy like avelumab. And the number three could be a disease progression during or after first-line treatment with EV pembro. So basically, the three different scenarios that we can have in first line, dependent, of course, of the local approval. So it's quite different between Europe and US currently. But with the recent data that we had from the NIZA-1 trial and the EV-302, probably the standard of care will be pretty the same between US and Europe in the coming months.
Thank you. And what are the optimal treatment options for different clinical scenarios in subsequent management?
So regarding the most frequent scenario, so I mean patient who has been treated with platinum-based chemotherapy followed by avelumab maintenance. So if so, the standard of care, I would say, this patient is to give an antibody drug conjugate. So enfortumab vedotin, and why? Because we have a positive phase 3 trial, EV-301, that showed that EV improved over survival compared to conventional chemotherapy like docetaxel, paclitaxel, or venfluenin. So the drug is approved in many countries worldwide, and we can use this drug in so-called cell line treatment. In US, there is also an option in terms of antibody drug conjugate. Sacituzumab Govitecan, which is another antibody drug conjugate that targets the TROP2, is already approved based on a phase 2 trial that showed that sacituzumab govitecan provide an objective response rate of around 30%, median PFS more than 5 months, and a median of a survival or around 1 year. It's not approved in Europe, but probably this year we will have the data from a phase 2 trial called TROPiCS-04, and if positive, of course, the drug might be approved in many countries. It could be so another option on top of ofatumumab vedotin, so in third line. There is also another option, which is not an antibody drug conjugate, which is a target therapy, so erdafitinib, which is an FGFR inhibitor, a pan-FGFR inhibitors. And so the drug is already approved in US and in many other countries worldwide. And very recently, we have data from a phase 2 trial called THOR, which compare erdafitinib to conventional chemotherapy for the patient previously treated with immunotherapy and also chemotherapy. Of course, we can give this treatment, erdafitinib, only if there is a mutation, an FGFR3 mutation, or a fusion, an FGFR2 or 3 fusion in the tumors. But the drug have a level 1 of evidence in this clinical scenario, so it could be, of course, a third option. If the patient had a disease progression during the first-line chemotherapy, so the patient has not received immunotherapy, so the patient has disease progression during chemotherapy or upon completion of chemotherapy, here the standard of care is still immunotherapy, but it's not avelumab, it's pembrolizumab. Why? Because again, we have data from a phase 3 trial, the KEYNOTE-045, that show that in second line or third line, pembrolizumab improve our survival compared to conventional chemotherapies that include docetaxel, paclitaxel, and venfluinin. We improve our survival, and the objective response rate is a bit higher, 21% versus around 12% of a patient treated with chemotherapy. So it's a standard of care in many countries for a while now. And last scenario, the patient have disease progression after first-line treatment of EV Pembro. And here it's more challenging because, of course, we don't have much data here to provide very strong recommendations because, of course, there is no phase 2 trial that include patients previously treated with EV Pembro. So there is different options that you can discuss. The number one could be platinum-based chemotherapy. It's easy to give. We know, of course, chemotherapy and platinum-based chemotherapy for a while, but we don't know exactly if in second line, after EV Pembro, platinum-based chemotherapy is effective and is safe. So a lot of registry will be implemented to get this data. Another option could be, again, for the patient with FGFR3 mutation or fusions, could be erdafitinib. In the phase 3 trial that I discussed a few minutes ago, none of the patients had been previously treated with EV Pembro. So again, the level of evidence is quite low. It's mainly 3 or 4. But it's still an option, of course, because sometimes patients prefer to receive an oral drug because erdafitinib is an oral drug than an IV drug like chemotherapy after a long treatment with EV Pembro. So how we can do the or provide some recommendation between erdafitinib or chemotherapy, I think it's a case-by-case discussion with the patient. You have to take into account for the comorbidities, the patient preference, and of course the, maybe the physician preference, of course, but erdafitinib here is also another option that you can provide to this patient. I have to remind that only 15 to 20% of the patients have an FGFR3 mutation and fusion, so it's a minority of the patient. But if you identify such genetic alteration in the tumors in the patient, you have to discuss this option, of course, along with the chemotherapy.
Thank you. And the topic of immunotherapy rechallenging isn't very interesting. Is there a role for rechallenge with immunotherapy?
I would say it's a difficult question here because we don't have so many data. The available data is limited, of course. But that is something we have to address in a clinical trial. There is some data in kidney cancer, for example, that show that rechallenge with the patient with immunotherapy is not very effective. So if the patient has been treated with chemotherapy and then avelumab, disease progression, probably doesn't make sense to give pembrolizumab in case of disease progression after avelumab or during treatment with avelumab. Not the preferred option. If the patient has been treated with EV pembro in first line and stop pembrolizumab for any reason, for toxicity or because the patient has been treated for at least 2 years, for example, and the patient has disease progression 1 year later, as I said before, we don't have data here to strongly recommend the rechallenge with pembrolizumab. But to me, again, it doesn't make sense to give again a pembrolizumab if the treatment-free interval is very short, so probably around 6 months to 12 months. So in this case, I would prefer to give platinum-based chemotherapy to this patient. And the next question, difficult question that we have to address is, as a patient has this progression on EV pembro, and then so you use platinum-based chemotherapy in second line, should we provide a patient an immunotherapy as maintenance with avelumab? Here we don't know. We don't have data. Again, we need this data and prospective registry or data that can provide very useful insights into practice and daily practice.
Thank you for your insightful comments. It appears that we can now offer a wider range of treatment options to locally advanced or metastatic urothelial cancer patients going beyond third line therapies. Could you kindly share your insights on optimizing the continuum of care for locally advanced or metastatic urothelial cancer patients in order to maximize their survival benefit?
I think it's the take-home message is the anticipation. So I give you an example. If the patient is treated with, in the future, with EV pembro in first line and the patient has disease progression, you will try to identify if the patient has an FGFR3 mutation in the tumors. So there is different way to test the tumors, the tumor itself, or the alternative could be ctDNA, but it takes days or weeks to get the results. And meanwhile, the patient could have a very rapid disease progression. And maybe you can lose the opportunity to provide the patient erdafitinib because of a rapid disease progression, and the patient could be unfit to receive any subsequent treatment. So here the anticipation is to test the tumor as soon as possible, as soon you diagnose metastasis in the patient. So I mean during as the first-line setting. It's very easy during the treatment with EV Pembro or the platinum-based chemotherapy in first-line to request a test to look for the LGFR3 mutation and fusion in the tumors or ctDNA. So you have the information. And if you know that the patient and the LGFR3 mutation, it's more convenient, of course, to discuss the different options for the second-line therapy and discussing the option of erdafitinib. It's just an example. So anticipation is key. And again, could be, I think you have to monitor the patient also very strongly because, again, you have to avoid to lose the opportunity to give a second line or a third line therapy to this patient. I mean that you have to follow the patient very closely, to do the CT scan every week, every 8 weeks or 12 weeks to track and to detect the disease progression as soon as possible.
Thank you, Dr. Lorio, for the insightful discussion. We greatly appreciate your valuable guidance regarding second and later line treatment strategies.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for next week's podcast as we discuss the ongoing development of novel drugs.